I've studied a lot of them, and I've seen the ones that are successful and ones that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are successful have two main components I've seen that work really well.
This is Social Media Simplified, the podcast that takes the guesswork out of using social media to build your audience and increase your exposure on the web. Join us as a social media scholar for exclusive tips, tactics, and strategies to create content, market your brand, and much more. Let's do this.
Welcome, social media scholars, to Social Media Simplified. I'm your co-host, the collaboration connoisseur, Lante Tacona.
And as always, Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo.
We have an exciting episode. This is number 7, and we're going to be talking about ways to improve your social media presence through building trust. And we'll be revealing the secret to getting fast results.
Fast results.
Fast results.
That's what everyone wants these days, right?
So Nathan, tell me this. Why is building a presence online through trust important? Or how do we even get involved in that? Why are we even talking about this?
Man, through trust. So that's kind of the major benefit of social media, is that you can actually see who is liking your brand, who's engaging with your brand, who's commenting, and that can build trust with your audience when you actually produce good content.
Okay, so I agree that building trust in your audience is an avenue to engage your potential client base, consumer base, your audience in general. However way they're receiving your content, building that trust is key. And trust is key in particular when it comes to building a community.
Yes.
An online community is one way that I would say developing trust through your online presence is an avenue to sort of kind of garner a community.
Yes.
And begin a conversation.
Yes, that's right. So you have a community on your, if you're a small business owner or you have a side project, whatever it might be, you have a community there on your fan page, right, with all those fans that follow your content.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to create a community. But what I've seen work lately that's proven to be very successful for a lot of marketers that I follow is they're creating designated Facebook groups.
Okay, interesting. So on Facebook, that's an interesting concept of creating groups in order to kind of give your community a home, right?
A
place to live, a place to engage, a place to reference.
That's right. It's a little different than having like just a regular business page and having content on there, because that type of content just kind of flows into their feed naturally. But as you know, we've talked about earlier episodes, Facebook, it's harder and harder to get exposure in the feed. And so having a separate Facebook group, it's like a place where they can go. It's like you said, a destination.
A destination.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say that the same goes for LinkedIn. And it's interesting because although LinkedIn has groups and pages, I personally haven't been involved in a community of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, up until recently.
Mm-hmm.
When LinkedIn video started becoming a trending or a popular feature, there are communities that reference and talk about video creation, mm-hmm. and how to get involved in video. So I'd say that's a community. But you don't necessarily have a reference point. I can't go click on a group or an ad or something and end up in a community where people are talking about it.
There are groups on LinkedIn, but I think they're less popular than they are on Facebook.
Yeah, they're less popular, which is why I would probably say that building a community on LinkedIn would be a great platform to begin your
mm-hmm.
journey as far as cultivating a community around your brand.
Yeah, communities will know, like, and trust you, and people that know, like, and trust you buy from you.
It's sustainable.
Having
a community to discuss and reference and publish your content towards
mm-hmm.
is a sustainable base for you to begin a conversation, get people actively involved, and start to participate in the conversation. That way it's not a one-way conversation.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street.
What I'm hearing there is participation.
Absolutely.
And that is really key, especially since if we go back to the Facebook platform, it's just harder and harder to get your content actually exposed to your audience on there because there's so much noise and distractions in their Facebook feed. When you have a community of people like that, you can give them lots of value, lots of content, and they're more likely to see it because they're going to go there on purpose because they want to be part of everyone else that's also trying to achieve that certain goal.
Agreed. Now, here's the next question then. Right, so we've agreed that building a community is a sustainable customer base, a place
mm-hmm.
to have the conversation, and gives people a destination.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now that they're in this community and you're producing content that they're consuming, how do you get them to participate? How do you create actionable content?
Well, again, I mean, I haven't created too many communities of my own, but I do follow a lot of marketers that do this very, very well. And so what I've seen from them is this, is that they're creating content, but not only that, they're asking a very insightful question of the day, if you will. They always ask something, because when you get people participating and engaging in that community, they're more likely to keep coming back because they feel like their voice is heard.
I agree 100%. And I can say that that's something that I see on LinkedIn a lot as of lately. Interestingly enough, one form that I've seen it come through in is polls or surveys, where somebody on LinkedIn will post a status. It's a text, a status, ask a question, and then give multiple choice answers. So they'll give a situation. Would you rather do A, B, and C? And then in the comments, people participate by selecting one of those options. Where it gets interesting is that in polls, if you're giving them a multiple choice answer, a lot of times people would want to pick more than one of those answers, and they'll place that in their comment. Maybe A and C apply to my answer. And that's where conversations start to come, when people start to talk a little bit more about why.
Sounds like on LinkedIn, you can kind of create more of a community in the feed itself. But with Facebook, it's just so drowned right now with so much content in their feed that on Facebook, creating an entirely separate group would be more advantageous.
Okay, so let's talk about Facebook for a little bit. When you create a group on Facebook with the intention of building a community, and now it's time to begin engaging that community, what are some ways to gain participation, similar to the LinkedIn polls example?
So for one of my clients right now, we just started his group like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and when we first started out, I'd say one of the first things to do if you're trying to create a community on Facebook, create a Facebook group, but make sure there's a purpose there. So for him, he's a health and wellness coach. And so I wanted a way where we can identify his community. They can actually identify themselves as part of his community. And so what we did is we created a little graphic that they can install on their phones, like a screensaver. So every time they open up their lock screen on their iPhones, they immediately are reminded of what community they're part of and what their goals are.
Very interesting. So you're kind of giving them an identifier, a way to identify themselves.
I think that's really big with communities.
That's actually,
one of the first steps.
So that's actually similar to what's happening here in the podcast. Social Media Simplified, and us who are involved in the conversation are social media scholars.
That's right. We're all trying to learn here. I think when someone can identify themselves as part of a community, they feel like they're supported. You know, they have their struggles, but they have the community to go back to.
Absolutely. I agree that 100%. So we've talked about how to sort of gain or sort of build a sustainable customer base using or an audience using communities, online communities. In Facebook, that would be groups. In LinkedIn, it'd be a little bit different, but it's around a niche, at least people of interest. We've talked about that. And then we've talked about how to sort of garner participation in our communities, creating actionable content, polls and surveys. In LinkedIn is one way. On Facebook, it's more so engaging them with content that they can interact with, comment on, share, get involved in, and potentially, in your example, is create an image that they can actually store and lock on
the screen.
Yeah,
it's a little identifier.
A way to identify themselves.
I got that idea from Russell Brunson. He's a very famous marketer, and that's what he does with his software, ClickFunnels, where when someone signs up for ClickFunnels, they subscribe, he sends them a t-shirt that says, "I'm a funnel hacker."
Nice.
So that's his community. They're all they self-identify themselves as funnel hackers.
So it sounds like the key here is to definitely define your group and sort of name it and develop a sort of culture and a way to self-identify as a part of that community.
Yeah. Right? Quick story on that. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before on the podcast, but with Russell Brunson and his software ClickFunnels, in an interview, he mentioned one of his subscribers had emailed him and said, "Hey, I downloaded your software a few months ago, but to be honest with you, I just haven't had the time to go around and actually use it yet. I'm paying for it, but I haven't used it. The reason why I'm still actually subscribed to your software is because you sent me that t-shirt, and I felt like I was part of a community because I was a funnel hacker. And that's why I want to continue paying you money, because I feel like I'm part of something."
Part of something.
That's huge. He's paying him money when he's not even using the software per se, but he feels like he's part of something.
Absolutely.
It's powerful stuff.
Now, a question that I have is on LinkedIn, I'm going more so the online community building route, call it, right? But that takes time.
It does.
It takes a lot of time to get people to identify your group, to then sort of build a name for it, and then from there begin to engage your potential audience and customer base.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some faster ways to get results? Maybe not community, online community-based, mm-hmm. but what are some ways that you've tried?
Before we move to that, there's one more thing I want to say about communities that I've seen, I've studied them. So again, I don't have one of my own per se, like a Facebook group, but I've studied a lot of them. And I've seen the ones that are successful and ones that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are successful have two main components I've seen that work really well. One is the host of the group needs to be what I call an attractive character. Someone that has had their own struggles, had their own hardships that the community can relate with. No one can relate with someone that's perfect,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
so
key.
And they also have to have a really good personality and a person that can draw people in. So that's one component I've seen. The second component that I've seen of these successful communities is that the name of their group or the objective of their group is usually a very simple system that people can actually participate in to achieve a certain result.
And that's key.
To achieve
the result.
To achieve
so
the result.
So there's an actual tangible benefit of being a part of this community.
And usually it's quantifiable.
Right.
Meaning they put, like, if you want to make more money with affiliate marketing, let's say. So you would say, like, the three-step system to go from zero to $20,000 per month using affiliate marketing in less than a certain amount of time.
And that's key. I like that. I like that attractiveness of having a tangible goal and a tangible result that comes of being a part of the community.
That's right.
The key with that is also to remember that trust is a part of it. So if you're offering a certain advantage, you know, within 3 months, within a time limit, a certain result within a certain time limit, it's imperative that you produce that, that you provide that as
well.
That's
true.
Right?
That's true. And so not everyone will achieve those results, but the host of the group has achieved it, so he wants to go ahead and give his knowledge away. And
mm-hmm.
usually how that goes is you deliver lots of value, lots of content for free, interviews, that kind of thing, polls, surveys, and
mm-hmm.
eventually you lead them down the way to a product. Could be
right.
a course, could be an ebook, whatever it might be.
Actual examples and tangible results.
Yeah. But that community
mm-hmm.
there, by that point, you've given them so much of value that by that point, they're more likely to buy from you.
I like that. I agree 100%. And that's a critical point,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. So moving on to how to get fast results.
Fast
now,
results.
On LinkedIn, building a community is it takes time. It takes time, and there's a lot of strategy that's involved. Part of that is your content strategy, your topic, your post frequency. There's a lot of stuff that gets involved in sort of building this community
mm-hmm.
Where people can reference and come to for future content. So you're more so a Facebook specialist. How can you achieve
mm-hmm.
faster results
mm-hmm.
using Facebook?
Yeah, so I mentioned this in an earlier episode. Pretty much Facebook is turning into what I call a pay-to-play system. So getting your content to be exposed to your audience organically, just naturally, is getting harder and harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
So now I highly recommend any type of small business owner, entrepreneur to invest a little money into Facebook advertising. You will get much faster results if you put, let's say you put $1 in and you get $5 back, right? It's investing a little bit of money for a decent return. And that's how Facebook advertising works if you do it effectively.
So the advantage of doing this on Facebook is that, so on Facebook trying to build a community organically just through posts and being present in general
mm-hmm.
may not necessarily be enough to overcome the noise on the
mm-hmm.
platform, right?
Yeah.
So for example, if you're a small business and you're selling toys, in order to get yourself more presence, more call it market share, digital presence
mm-hmm.
on Facebook, it's harder to do that just by producing a lot of content.
Yeah.
So on Facebook, the way to do that would be using paid advertising.
That's right. Yeah, and so you still need that organic content you create on a regular basis just to have your Facebook page busy, active. But we really need to start advertising more. That's the key now. And so there is a lot of different ways to do that. For small business owners, you can advertise a piece of content. You can advertise an offer that you might be running,
mm-hmm.
whatever that might be. But to get fast results, I'm talking like get leads and customers and sales pretty quickly
mm-hmm.
with the right strategy. That can happen within a week.
So So it sounds like really what advertising does for you, it is allows for more participation in the content. So using advertising and specifically targeting mm-hmm. a certain group of people, potentially that group that you created within Facebook, offers the opportunity to now drive those results to the people or give that content to the people who are interested in that content, and then give them a way to participate in that content, actively get involved, like it, share it, or engage it and learn more about it.
That's right. You get that content in front of them much, much faster. So you can get better results, but you got to pay a little bit to make that happen.
Amazing. It's a great episode. So in summary, the three takeaway tips to improve your social media presence online is A, to build a community of some sort, which will provide you with a sustainable customer base. Mm-hmm. The second one is to provide actionable content, a way for the audience and your customers to participate in your content. And the third one is to use Facebook advertising, if you choose to use Facebook for as your platform of choice, to get faster results.
Yeah.
And on the next episode, Nathan, what's on the next episode?
On the next episode, we're going to talk about how to draw attention to your posts, why emotional language sells, and why you should throw your English book out the window. I'm Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo.
And as always, I'm your collaboration connoisseur, Lante Tacona. You can connect with me on LinkedIn at LANTEI.
And you can find me at nathangarrett.net. All right, thanks for listening.